Okay, so we'll start. I'm going to read Judges chapter 9, verse 9 to 25. We'll read this portion. This portion we are going to study can be titled A Man of God in the Making, or we can say God's power is made perfect in weakness. That is what we are going to see. A man of God in making, or a power of God is made perfect in weakness. So Gideon, as Harold was praying, went through many difficulties. And it is a picture, we may think, you know, God spoke directly to Gideon. If that ever happened to me, I would be completely different. Would you ever thought that way? Then not only that, he had a number of signs God gave him. And still we can see that this Gideon needed more encouragement. And his faith needed assurance. And God is gracious. God is gracious. And we are no different. We can also doubt sometimes. We can also be, we need assurance in our faith, isn't it? How can we become strong in our faith? Once you have the faith, are you going to be stable always in your faith? Are you going to be a man or woman of faith all the time? No. How can we get strong in our faith? Trial. Trial makes us strong, right? Then we depend on the Lord. We know that the power and the enablement comes from the Lord. It is not of us. So that is a picture we see in Gideon. That we can see there is a harmony between the power of God and the obedience of Gideon. Obedience of Gideon. So God's power is harmonious here with obedience. And that is the case with us. God is powerful, he is faithful, he is able. He is able to provide what he promised. And we fail to receive or see God's power manifested in our life many times because we fail sometimes. But again, the Lord is gracious. That is what we see here in Gideon's life. God is again and again and again is gracious. So God's act of grace is repeated as we are repeating our act of disobedience. Or act of obedience is, act of faith is the obedience. So that's what we see here in the life of Gideon. So I'm going to divide this portion into four parts as I read this portion. So the first starting verse 9 to 14, it is the encouragement. So who needs encouragement here? We all need encouragement, right? And the faith comes by, how do we get, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word, right? Hearing comes by the word of God. So the word of God is, the ministry of the word of God is designed to encourage us and strengthen us in our faith. And the examples of Gideon and all these Old Testament examples are given us to encourage us and make us to persevere in our faith. So we will be, we'll have hope in the promises of God. So the verse 9 to 14 is the encouragement from the Lord to his servant Gideon. Then verse 15 to 18, it is the preparation for the battle. It is the preparation for the battle. Then verse 19 to 23, it is the battle. To whom belong the battle? The battle belongs to the Lord, right? So the victory comes from the Lord. So this verse 19 to 23 is the battle, but the battle belongs to the Lord and the victory comes from the Lord. Then the final verse 24 and 25 is the outcome. So let us read. So keep that outline in your mind as we read. Now, the same night, it came about that the Lord said to him. So it is the same night. All that happened when those 300 were selected from 32,000. That same night it happened. Now, the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. But if you are afraid to go down, go with Pura, your servant, down to the camp, and you will hear what they say. And afterward, your hands will be strengthened that you may go down against the camp. So he went with Pura, his servant, down to the outpost of the army that was in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. When Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend. And he said, behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian, and it came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. His friend replied, this is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand. Verse 15, when Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down in worship. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands. He divided the 30 men into three companies, and he put trumpets and empty pitchers into their hands, all of them, with torches inside the pitchers. He said to them, look at me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, then you also blow the trumpets all around the camp and say, for the Lord and for Gideon. Verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. When the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and cried, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Each stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran, crying out as they fled. When they blew 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword one against another, even throughout the whole army. And the army fled as far as Beth Shitta, toward Serira, as far as the edge of Abel Mahola by Tabath. The men of Israel were summoned from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh, and they pursued Midian. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, come down against Midian and take the waters before them as far as Beth Bara and Jordan. So all the men of Ephraim were summoned, and they took the waters as far as Beth Bara and Jordan. They captured the two leaders of Midian, Oreb and Zeb, and they killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and they killed Zeb at the winepress of Zeb, while pursued Midian. And they brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon from across the Jordan. So may the Lord add his blessing upon the reading of his precious word. Now let us come back to verse 9. And we, as mentioned earlier, this happened in the same night all that had transpired as previously written. Now, Gideon has these 300 men ready for battle as the Lord commanded. And the Lord said to Gideon, arise and go down against the camp, for I have given it to your hands. Now the Lord is trying to encourage his servant again.
Domination.
Now, how many times the Lord said this to Gideon before? The Lord has given the Midianites into your hands. He's encouraging Gideon to arise and go down into the camp. He's saying that the promises of God is as good as it has already passed. God has given it in your hands. That is the promise God is giving. Based on that promise, Gideon needs to go now. How many times you want to play the video? Okay. Go ahead. Anyway, we waited, so I will continue from there.
The story of Judges illustrates the story of the human race. It's a downward spiral. One, departure from the way of truth. Two, domination by the enemy. Three, a desperate cry for help, sometimes after many years of bondage. And four, a deliverer raised up by God. The period covered by the Judges, including the book of Ruth, is not easy to calculate because some of the stories overlap in time. Probably it covers about 300 years, from approximately 1400 to 1100 BC. Even considering that there must be some overlap, the years of peace are almost three times the number of years of oppression. This isn't to excuse the declension in Israel. In fact, one could wonder how they often waited so long before crying to the Lord. We could wonder, that is, if it weren't for our own wayward hearts. It's good to see, however, that the victory that Jehovah gave Israel through these judges was not a superficial thing. In most cases, it seems to have lasted for the lifetime of that generation, 40 years or so. And in the days of Ehud, well into the lives of the next generation too. These judges, 14 in number, are also called deliverers or saviors. That is, they didn't simply tell the Israelites what they should do, as the law did, but actively led them in victory against their enemies, as the Lord Jesus does for us. And graciously, four of them made it into God's hall of faith in Hebrews 11. In spite of the encouraging victories at times, we see growing deterioration throughout the book. Professor David Gooding has pointed out that Judges is arranged as a chiasm, a crossways arrangement with characters that contrast beginning at each end and moving to the center of the book. So, for example, Othniel, the first judge, is a model of what married life ought to be, while Samson, the last judge, is a solemn warning against the unequal yoke. Ehud, the second judge, took the fords of Jordan and slaughtered the enemy. Jephthah, the second last judge, took the fords of Jordan and slaughtered his brethren because they didn't speak the way he did. In the days of Deborah and Barak, Sisera, an enemy general, is slain by a woman with a blow to the head. Then Abimelech, supposedly the third to last judge in Israel, who was actually a tyrant, he must be stopped from destroying his own people by the blow to the head by another woman. In the middle is Gideon, who himself is a study in contrast and the pivot point in the book. He has a great beginning, standing against idolatry and fighting the Midianite enemy. But later in his career, he fought his own people and lapsed into idolatry. And we read that all Israel played the harlot with the image he made. Hardly a ray of light is left when we come to the end of the book. A sad conclusion, repeated four times in chapters 17, 18, 19, and 21, reads, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." We see the utter inability of the judges to stem the growing flood of idolatrous practices, as well as the failure of the all-tribal council to solve Israel's growing lawlessness, as seen in the crisis with the tribe of Benjamin. But we will find hope in the next book, Ruth, that takes us, of all places, to the little town of Bethlehem. And that's our scripture snapshot of the book of Judges.
Okay. Now we have to change the gear a little bit. Come back to chapter 7, the Gideon. So Gideon is placed in the middle. And four of those judges made to the Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. That is Gideon, Deborah, Barak, and Jephthah. So we are studying about Gideon. Gideon's life is, we can identify with Gideon in many ways. Gideon had a great start. I hope that none of us will end up like Gideon. Gideon, when we look into chapter 8, we can see he didn't end well. He had a great start. He was hiding, then the Lord found him, and the Lord saw the raw material. The Lord saw potential in the life of Gideon. Lord is always looking for potential. The Lord is not looking for education or ability or stature or family background or any of those things. The Lord is looking for availability and obedience. The Lord can see us through and see whom he can mold. So the Lord saw possibilities in the life of Gideon, and even though he needed encouragement after encouragement and after encouragement, the grace of God was repeated again and again and again to bring the point where Gideon is at this time and given victory through Israel, to Israel, through Gideon. It was the Lord's power working through Gideon. That's why they shouted for the Lord and for the Gideon. That means the Lord's power is in harmony with Gideon's obedience. The sword of the Lord and the sword of the Gideon. That is what they shouted. So we are seeing an encouragement. So I'm going to now, I had to do a crash course or a highlight the points now. So probably that is more beneficial. So the servant of the Lord needs encouragement at this point. So the earlier portion we read, the Lord is going to encourage him. How is he going to encourage him? That he uses two devices to encourage him. What does encourage us? Number one, when we are discouraged, what is going to encourage us? The word of God, right? The ministry of the word of God. We get ministered by studying, by reading, studying the word, and when the ministry of the word is applied, it is for encouragement. So God is going to encourage Gideon through his word first. Then he's going to give a sign in the form of a dream. So two devices he uses. But when you look at this verse in 9, arise and go down against the camp, for I have given it in your hands. Now this is the fourth time the Lord is saying these words to Gideon. If you look at verse 14 of chapter 6, verse 14, the Lord looked at him and said, go in your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. How I not send you? And he said to him, he's saying that, go deliver. I am sending you. So it's going to take place. Then you look at verse 16. But the Lord said to him, surely I'll be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. If the Lord is with us, is anything impossible? When the Lord said, be strong in the Lord, that means the Lord is going to be with us. In his strength, we find our strength. So then in verse 7, the Lord said to Gideon, I will deliver you with 300 men who lapped and will give the Midianites into your hands. So let the other people go. So the Lord said third time again that I'm going to give the Midianites into your hand. And plus three signs the Lord gave previously. One was when Gideon offered the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the drink offering. The fire of the Lord came and consumed. That was a sign that is a divine power is exhibited. Then we know the wet fleece and the dry fleece. That two more signs. So three times the word of God encouraged. The promise was given through the word of God. Then three signs were given. still the servant of the Lord needs encouragement. We can ask you, after all these divine help, Gideon should have been strong in his faith and courageous, right? We can say that. But it was not the case. Do you doubt sometimes? Are you fearful? So this is written for our sake. So we can find strength and grace in the times of need. So the one way we get encouraged is through the ministry of the Word of God. How do we get encouraged another way? We are told to, you know, there are a number of scripture verses, one another. What is one of them? Encourage one another, right? We need to encourage one another when we are going through difficulties and challenges, and we need one another to encourage and uphold and help and support. And also we pray for one another. That is, we encourage. So the ministry of the Word of God, but here the Word of God is encouraging his servant. And he was told to go down to the camp, and the Lord sends he's going to be fearful. See, the faith and the fear cannot stay in the same heart at the same time. It is opposite to each other. But we are prone to fear sometimes. We doubt sometimes. That does not mean that we are not people of faith. We need our faith needs to be encouraged again and again. So he went down to the camp, and we see, so they were in the nighttime, and they were walking around, and they overheard two people in the camp speaking. One said, "I saw a dream." He explained the dream. What was the dream? We read that down. Behold, verse 13. When Gideon came, behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend. And he said, "Behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian, and it came to the tent and struck it." So a cake of barley bread came to the Midian camp and struck it, and the tent fell flat. So there was an interpreter that his friend interpreted his interpretation. He gave the interpretation. He said, "This is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given Midianites and the camp into his hand." Now God arranged everything in a way so Gideon and Purah would be where they are right now, so they could overhear this dream and the interpretation. The purpose was to encourage his servant. He encouraged his servant through his word and also through another sign, through a dream. Now, the Lord is not going to encourage us through any sign. You know, we always look for a sign, like, you know, John was mentioning last week. When we buy a car or a house or make a decision, we always want some positive clearance. We always look for that. But always God's leading come through his word and the Spirit's leading, and maybe through a counsel or advice from a godly brother or a sister. So we don't, that was the way the Lord communicated. That is not normal now. So we are not going to get somebody's going to interpret a dream for us as we are looking for something. It is the Word of God which is going to encourage us. The faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That stands forever. So the servant needs the encouragement, and the Lord encouraged him through his word and through this sign. So we get encouraged through his promises from the Word of God, because God, when he promised, is he able to do what he promises? He's able. So his promises and his faithfulness combined with his ability, he's able to do it, his enablement, and his power provides what he promises. And the reason for this particular particular encouragement was needed because the enemy was very strong. You see the description of the enemy there. Verse 12. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the sons of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. Numberless. Thousands. How many thousands were there, you know? 135,000. We see that in the next chapter. And the camels were without number. You couldn't count them. Did Israelites had any weapons? No. Did they have any camels? No. And also, you know, they are numberless. The figure is used the sand of the seashore. So there is reason to be discouraged. On one side, there is only 300 people. The other side, 135,000 with camels and weapons and everything. Sword. Israelites don't have any sword with them. So we can get discouraged sometimes with the challenges, with the difficulties we are facing. Is there going to be a deliverance from this situation I am in? See, the difficulties we face, the difficult people or difficult situation or challenges or whatever, we are all going through difficult various challenges. All are, the Lord knows it. Lord allows it. All are designed to make us more like Christ. God has a purpose through it. And he will give us the grace. We need to strengthen one another. We need to help another. We need to encourage one another through the ministry of the word, through our fellowship, and whatever way we can do, encourage, pray, and help them through that process. But the Lord is not unaware of the Lord. The Lord knows exactly what he's doing. So here the Lord is encouraging his servant. Now, the preparation. So what is the first thing Gideon does in verse 15? He's encouraged by the word of God and by this sign and the interpretation that the Lord is going to give the Gideonites into his hand. First thing he does is worship God. He worships God, right? For who he is and what he's going to do, Gideon fell down and worshiped God. That is, you know, we are... Because the Lord is who he is. We adore him. We worship him. When we are occupied with who he is, so we worship him. When we are occupied with our needs, we pray for petitions. We bring all our petitions. But when we understand who he is, that leads to worship. In the case of Joshua, when the Lord appeared, he worshiped him. In the case of Gideon, twice before, we see that when the angel appeared, he worshipped him. So the Lord knew Gideon was a man who had a worshipful heart. Here he worshipped, gave the Lord the right place before he moved into this endeavor. See, when the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, how did he teach us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9? Our Father who art in heaven, what? Hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? May your name be glorified. May my life bring you glory. Acknowledging that everything I'm going to do, I am going to bring glory to you, Lord. Eat or drink, whatever, little or bigger thing. This is an act of worship when we are always aware of who God is and what he has done for us. Let thy kingdom come. That means I acknowledge you as my king. Then let thy will be done. Then means I'm willing to undergo your will. So that is a worshipful act there. Because, you know, when we come together the Lord's Day morning, we remember the Lord as an act of worship. Why do we do that? Because for who he is and what he's done for us, right? The greatest thing the Lord has done is he forgave our sins. The Lord, through his death on the cross of Calvary. We worship. Every Christian, every child of God should have a worshipful heart. When we come Sunday morning and when we worship, that is an occasion for worship. And everyone should be filled with thanks for who he is and give a praise, word of praise and an utterance of thanksgiving for what he has done. So that's what Gideon is doing here. First, he worshiped the Lord. The second, then another thing he did, he encouraged his brethren. Remember when Peter denied Christ, you know, Christ, when he foretold that, he said, I prayed for you. When you're strengthened, what did he say? Strengthen your brethren. Now, here is Gideon, encouraged by the word of God, encouraged by the sign which was given, and now he is 100% sure. He is convicted and convinced the Lord is going to deliver Midian into hands. And he is going to, convicted and convinced, he worshiped the Lord and he went and encouraged the brethren. And he gave those equipments, the three things he's given to them. This is the battle plan. What is that? A pitcher, a trumpet, and a pitcher, a lamb, a trumpet, right? Now, I'm going to close this. We see the battle. How did this battle take place? He divided this 300 into three groups, 100 each. Then he said, then Gideon also take the lead. And he said, you watch me. Do as I do. So here it was a man who was hiding before, who said, I'm the least of the tribe of Israel. I cannot do this, Lord. How are you going to do this with me? The Lord brought him through a process and made him a leader. The Lord is trying to do that with each one of us. It does not matter our fear and our lack of courage. The Lord wants to make us useful vessels. And here, now he says he's a leader. He's a general. He says, do as I do. And he said, I'm going to blow the trumpet. You do that. Then they surrounded the camp, and Gideon blew the trumpet, and they all blew the trumpet. They broke the pitcher and held the torch high with their left hand. And all of a sudden, what happened? The Lord sent a spirit of confusion, and the Lord turned each one of the Midianites' sword against each other. They started slashing each other. They ran for their life. There was an element of surprise attack. The 300 torches looked like a vast array of army, and the shout sounded like a big infantry coming against them, and they ran in confusion. And that's how the Lord got the victory. So there's one more lesson here I just wanted to mention, then I'll close. The pitcher was broken and the light was made visible. What that reminds us of, the pitcher is a clay jar. It is easily be broken, but the light was within in that jar. Yeah, Grant. What did you say? Yep. So, and we can connect that to 2 Corinthians 4:7. This treasure is in the jars of clay, so that we would know the power is not ours, it is the Lord's. That is what exactly evident here. The power of God was made visible, and the victory came from the Lord, and he used Gideon and his obedience. So when we are going through difficulties, see, the Lord is breaking us. Brokenness is designed to make Christ shine in us, through us. So those who are around will see the light of the gospel of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a long time ago, I'll close with this illustration. When I was in Lansdowne Bible Chapel, all the way in Delaware County, a missionary from Africa came there, and he was going through, you know, the mission field is tough. They go through various trials and difficulties. And he was saying about how the Lord, how a carpenter makes a beautiful table or a furniture how a tree is cut down and how what that tree goes through the process to become a beautiful furniture which is useful. He was comparing that the difficulties they were going through all were designed so that they could be fellowship with the suffering of Jesus Christ and the Christ's becoming partakers of the sufferings of Christ. And when we break, when we are broken, the light is, Christ is more made more visible. So the Lord is in the process of breaking us. Sometimes he molds us, sometimes he breaks us. He takes us through the mill, and it's all designed to make his power perfect through us. And we have a number of examples in the Bible. I don't have time to go there. First Corinthians, we read, we were not all, you know, the people, highly esteemed people of this world. God chose the lowliest so that he can make his power known. And Paul said the same thing. His power is made perfect through weakness. And Paul suffered so much. And that's the story here. And we see the Lord gave a great victory through Gideon and used Gideon to deliver them from the hands of the Midianites. And it is the Lord's doing. The victory came from the Lord. But the servant of the Lord needed encouragement through the word of God. And the Lord did that. The grace of God acting again and again to encourage his servant, to make him a man of God, bring to the place of leadership, so he can work through him and give Israel victory. The Lord is looking to each one of us tonight to make his power known. Does not matter what we are going through. If you are willing to submit to him and obedient to him and let the Lord work through us, depending on him for his grace, he will accomplish his purpose. And he will get the glory at the end. It's not about us, it's about him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing upon your word. Lord, encourage. Thank you for encouraging us through your word, Lord. Lord, we are needy people. We have various trials and challenges and difficulties. But Lord, you are faithful. You're able. There's nothing impossible for you. And at the end, the victory comes from you, all for your glory. So we give you glory and ask for your blessing upon your word and upon us now. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray.